Welcome to Solid Rock Community Church's Sermon Podcast. We are glad you are joining us today to listen to God's Word. Please open your Bibles and follow along with today's message.
Title of today's message is, It is Better to Lose Your Life Than to Waste It. A lot of trash right there in that picture. Kind of like what I did when I prepared some of my, I won't say my messages, my, let's go back to college, some of my essays in college. I was planning today on teaching on the Holy Spirit. That'll have to wait till probably next week and the following week after that. I won't go into all the ways that God confirms a message to me, but I will simply say that through repetition, he makes it very clear today, or in many times, that what I was going to draw from, and in particular today, was not exactly what he had in store. So I had heard, I like to listen to other pastors, get ideas and thoughts and takes from them. John Piper and I don't think alike on everything, but I appreciate him so much. He's retired from doing full-time ministry now, but I heard a message from him, and he's preached some version of this message several times, many times, so maybe some of you have heard parts of this one also. As I say, any time that I take a message or I get it inspired by somebody else, I always want to give credit where credit is due. But the root of today's message with my spin on it is from Acts 20, 22 through 25. And so I want to start by reading that to us, Acts chapter 20, 22 through 25. And from the New American Standard, it says, And now behold, bound by the Spirit, I'm on my way to Jerusalem. This is Paul writing and talking, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit solemnly testifies to me in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions await me. But I do not consider my life of any account as dear to myself, so that I may finish my course and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus, to testify solemnly of the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that all of you among whom I went about preaching the kingdom will no longer see my face. Now, later we're going to return, talk a little bit about all of that, but especially verse 24, and we have it on a separate slide for later on. But Paul spent more time with the Ephesian church than virtually any of the others that he ever started. And he started a whole lot of churches. He was with them about 3 years before he moved on. He literally lived there and worked with them. So he deeply knew the Ephesians and he loved the brethren there. Knew them very well. And when he did move on, he taught and started other churches in Macedonia and Greece. Plus, he checked up on churches that he had started before that. Thus, he'd been away from the Ephesians for quite a bit of time now, maybe even a few years. And now he's headed, being led by the Holy Spirit, to go to Jerusalem, where it has repeatedly been prophesied that some kind of imprisonment, bonds and afflictions await him. And he knew he would never see the Ephesians church again, those that he really was close to. He chose to not actually put in an Ephesus itself. I don't know why he did that. He put into Miletus, which is about 25 miles south of there. In that day and age, that's a long walk. It's still a long walk today, just a long way to go, but it doesn't seem like that to us with when we have cars, but it was quite a haul. But he called for the elders to come down and hear him one last time. So this is the last time he's ever going to see the leaders of the church that he started and that he was in love with deeply. Now, saints, when a man is moving away from a particular ministry, when he's stepping down for a God-led reason, then most likely, when they give their last message, they boil everything down to just one, two, three major points which they desire their followers to know and to remember. And I know I have done that when I have left churches before. If God is leading and I get a final chance and it's positive, then I've wanted to share with them some of the last things that were on my heart. And I believe that here in Acts 20, he's making his final points of explanation to them. And that point is the title of today's message. It is better to lose your life than to waste your life. And it's almost the exact same point that he made when he wrote to the Philippian church. This was very important to Paul, and so just want to show you this. Let's put up Philippians 3, 7 and 8. And it says, he's writing to the church in Philippi over in Greece, "But whatever things were gained to me, those things I've counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish, so that I may gain Christ." That's a powerful, powerful verse. And saints, this idea is one that you and I need to grasp hold of tightly and to keep in our lives. The men's Bible study on Wednesday night is studying the book of Judges. And we just covered a battle where a large number of tribes were called to fight against King Sisera. Now, Sisera had 900 iron chariots. In fact, that is a massive advantage over just ground troops. When you have iron chariots that can come bearing down on you, it terrifies the ground troops. So many of the tribes were afraid to fight Sisera. And he'd been in charge 20, 30 years. He'd put them under bondage. But two tribes, Zebulun and Naphtali, they stood strong. They fought against him. And with God's help, they defeated Sisera's army. God sent a rainstorm in a time where they weren't supposed to have any rain. They have dry periods and wet periods over there, and this was a dry period. It wasn't supposed to happen, and God sent it, and they bogged down in the mud, and they couldn't use those big, heavy iron chariots anymore. However, in a song that followed that victory, that was in Judges chapter 4. We won't read about it. Like I said, the men are studying that, but it takes all of chapter 5 to write a song about this victory. And so that's what all of Judges chapter 5 is about. And so that is written, it was sung, and still to this day, in 2018, we can read about the glorification of God and using the two tribes, Zebulun and Naphtali. But also in that song in chapter 5, there is a rebuke of Reuben and Dan and Asher and Manasseh, because they were called to go to war and they didn't want to. They chose not to. They were really ambivalent. They didn't just say no, they just didn't get excited about it, and they didn't get involved. Possibly they didn't believe that God could give them victory and they became afraid. I don't know the cause. But regardless of what the cause was, they just stood by and watched. But it is better to lose your life serving the Lord than to waste it doing nothing. And that's what Paul's trying to tell the Ephesian elders. He wanted to say, I don't care about my life. I just want to finish strong. Now, saints, I was deeply, deeply convicted as I prepared this message. Because I way too often find myself considering my comfort, my pleasure, my convenience rather than the blessing of others and standing up and saying, those things don't matter. My convenience and my comfort don't matter if God calls me to do something else. I want to be like Joshua, who said and carried out, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen? I mean, that's where I want to be. That's who I want to be. And I find myself falling short of that. And I was just, this message, I'm preaching this message to me today. And I have spent a lot of time in prayer on this. And I know God is talking to me and tugging at me. A lot of people genuinely know Jesus. They're saved, they're born again. They pray, they attend church, they give financially, they do all kinds of proper actions in their life. But often, even those people don't want to do some of the harder things that God may call them to do. And they end up wasting their time doing something else or doing nothing. So, what kind of a person is it that Paul was, that is willing to lay down their life rather than to just pursue the American dream and waste their life? And I'll get to that in just a little while. What does that kind of person look like? What does a Paul who says, you know what? It doesn't matter what's going to happen to me in Jerusalem. I just want to fulfill what God wants me to be doing. What kind of person does that look like? Well, I want to point out from Acts chapter 20, the verses that we read, and I want to show you what Paul was like, and then I want to compare those to us and see how we measure up. You have to decide today, how do I measure up to these standards? There's going to be five of them. Five insights into what a person looks like who is willing to carry out God's will no matter what. Doesn't matter what's coming. I'm going to do this for God. Doesn't matter how embarrassed it makes me or how inconvenient it is, I'm going to do this. So we can see this in these verses, and the number one point or insight that a person willing to carry out God's will no matter what looks like is, number one, they are mastered by a power that is not their own. They are endued with power from on high, kind of a setup for the teaching on the Holy Spirit, and they're mastered with a power that does not come from them. I have met with church boards and elder boards in the past, and I know that every single one of those people know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, but their counsel in the boards oftentimes comes from them, their experiences, their history, their background. And it doesn't seem to be God. And I remember sitting with an elder board one time and I said, you guys have just told me what you think I ought to be doing. What does God say to you? And they kind of looked at me with this strange look. It's like, well, we just told you. I said, no, you told me what you think I ought to be doing. What does God say? So a person that can be victorious like Paul was, they're mastered by a power that is not their own. They don't just make up their own minds over what they buy or how they spend their time or who they talk to. They ask and then they yield to what the Father wants. And of course, it's the Holy Spirit that connects you and me with the Father. He knows the Father's heart, right? Holy Spirit knows what's on the heart of the Father. And he connects to our spirit because he dwells and lives in us. We sang about that. Same power that rose Jesus from the dead dwells in us. All right? So we can find out because he's connected to the Father and he lives in us. He can tell us what we should be doing about certain things. We can know the will of God. We can know it from his word. We can know it by the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And here's what those people understand. This is not point number two. I'm still under number one. But let's put up Psalms 63:3. It's a real short verse, and it says, Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips will praise you. Back in the 70s, they had a song to that. Thy loving kindness is better than life. Thy loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise thee, thus will I bless thee. I will lift up my hands unto thy name. And they know that God's loving kindness or mercy is better than life. And we need to understand that. These kind of people that are willing to go on with God like that understand, God, your love, your mercy, it's better than anything else I can have in life. Anything. And Paul was so mastered by the Spirit that he could honestly say, it doesn't matter what happens to me. My job is to testify of God's grace and God's gospel. That's what I'm assigned to do. Now, saints, whereas all of us are called to share Jesus with others, we are supposed to do that. Most likely, your proper life ministry is way different than what Paul was called to do. Most of us are not called to travel all over the world and start churches and train up new believers. We may be involved in that some way, shape, or form. Supporting missionaries, praying for them, or encouraging other things, or to train up new believers here in the church, or that kind of a thing. But oftentimes we are called or led into whatever realm God chooses for us. And I'll get into that just a little bit later too. But we need to pray that we can be mastered by the higher power of the Holy Spirit of God in what we do in the realms where we live. And I don't care if you're making pizza or fixing cars. I'm looking around at some of the people. Or running the ambulance service or farming or whatever it is that you do. It doesn't matter. We need to have the higher power of God leading us in that endeavor. Do you hear the Holy Spirit speaking to you? Do you let His power flow through you? Or do you simply try to solve issues by past experience? God can certainly use past experiences, but we need to seek Him first. I want to tell you something. It just blessed me. I don't even know if anybody else picked up on it. Gina knocked on my door today and she said, Ben wants to share something. We got the video up, but we can't get the sound to work. And I thought, I don't know anything about it. I mean, I've run the thing before and I know where the sound stuff is. And four people were over there. Dave was helping out and Ben was over there and a couple others were working on it. And they had everything going, but the sound wasn't working. And I said, as I walked over towards them, it just was a short little prayer. And I just said, Lord God, let us know what to do. And about that moment, Dave popped in a white plug and Ben turned one dial and poof, we had sound. It wasn't even 30 seconds. I mean, I didn't have to do anything. That's really cool. God kind of knows what He's doing, doesn't He? He knows how to answer prayer. That blessed me this morning. It was a simple thing, but it really blessed me. I didn't get that from experience. I didn't walk over and say, oh yeah, I've been trained on this. You got to plug that thing in and turn that sound dial up. I had no clue. But God did. Second point that I want us to see from these verses is a person who is willing to lay down his life for the Lord instead of just wasting it can confidently say this. This is an important one. I guess they're all important. But anyway, it is okay if I don't know about tomorrow. You see Paul saying that in that section of verse? He said, I really don't know what awaits me in Jerusalem. It's okay if I don't know about tomorrow. Now, I want you to think about that one for a minute. Is it okay if you don't know what tomorrow holds? We want to know about tomorrow. I do. Paul really had no clue what was going to happen when he went to Jerusalem, only that he was going to be arrested. And knowing that would have been enough to keep me from wanting to go. I think, yeah, God, why don't you call somebody else that ministry? I don't particularly want to have a ministry of being arrested. Had it too many times in the past if I was Paul. But you see, that was okay with Paul. Because there might be a bigger picture involved. Now, understand something. He didn't know this yet. But oftentimes when we're called to do something, God has a way bigger picture that may or may not involve us directly. But in fact, there was a bigger picture. Paul had to get arrested so that he could eventually appeal to Caesar so that he could go to Rome and minister to the Roman church. God knew all of that. Paul didn't. But there was a bigger idea going on. Let's put up Hebrews 11:8. And in Hebrews 11:8, it says, by faith, of course, that's the faith chapter, Hebrews 11. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. He had no clue. I don't know where I'm going. In fact, he took off, kind of angled up north and settled in Haran for a while and then came down south and wandered all over what is now the nation of Israel. He didn't know where he was going. Abraham had no clue when he was going, but he obeyed God. And in fact, he really never did get to build a home, settle down anywhere. He just lived out of a tent and kind of a nomad. He didn't know what the next day held. He didn't know where he was going to get water for his flocks. He didn't know if he was going to have pasture for them. He didn't even know if he was going to have a son to start with, let alone where was he going to get a wife for his son once he had one. I mean, there were so many things that he had no clue, but he obeyed his God. The Lord sure used him, started an entire nation, dare I say, race of people, the Jewish faith. See, God sometimes chooses us for things that are going to happen generations down the road, not just us. And he doesn't always explain that to us. So, saints, you need to know that following Jesus will be a road of, I'm not sure of what or when or how something might happen. You're going to follow the Lord, that's going to happen in your life. People in the world or who are walking in the flesh will often say of your choices, you're going to make a choice and they're going to say, you're nuts. That's crazy. That doesn't make any human sense at all. But that's the way it is following God. He wants us to walk by faith, not by sight. We don't get to know very often what tomorrow may bring. There are occasions where he lets us know that ahead of time. We just simply know that he's preparing for us to go into it. Now, you may get a calling to be a missionary. How long ago, Sheldon, Gene, how long ago did you guys get a call to, did you realize, I think we're being called to go into mission field? Years ago, can I just say that? 4 to 5 years ago. Okay. You may get a call to be a missionary, which is hard enough and sometimes real hard for family members or friends to grasp. You're going to do what? You're not a missionary. You're not a preacher. You don't know what you're doing. You haven't been trained. That's not why you went to school. They can say all kinds of things. I'm not saying their family did. Don't hear that. But people can say things like that. And then you get the calling, and then you don't go anywhere for years. What's that about, God? What are you doing? I thought we were called. Well, it's not the fullness of time yet. In the fullness of time, I'll have you there. That's the answer. A person willing to lose their life for Jesus basically learns to live for today through God, and that's enough. The kind of believer, that kind of believer simply does not worry about the future. That's what we're working towards. Number three, a person willing to lay down his life for the Lord is courageous enough to keep going even if he knows suffering is involved. And my friends, suffering will be involved. Let's put Acts 14:22 and then 2 Timothy 3:12. We'll just read them back to back. Acts 14:22 says, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying, through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. And 2 Timothy 3:12 says, indeed all, are you an all? I'm an all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus, guess what that says? Will be persecuted. Yay! Well, not really. That's not the way we feel about that most of the time. We are a people, we true believers in Jesus, who are called to face whatever may come our way. Paul, as you know, was beaten. He was imprisoned. He was shipwrecked. He was whipped. Says he could have sleepless nights. He was regularly challenged for his belief. And he had learned that suffering was a part of serving Jesus. Now, there may have been all kinds of reasons why Paul had to face that and you and I don't. But I won't go into all of that today. He really didn't care what he faced in Jerusalem, including death. I won't go into it. All right. And like that, we have to count the cost. There is going to be a cost if you're going to serve Jesus this way. Jesus told us in the Beatitudes, and we studied the Beatitudes last year in Matthew 5, verses 10 and 12, in that particular section of Beatitudes, it says, you are blessed if you are persecuted and insulted for his kingdom. Really? That doesn't sound like blessing to me. Persecuted and insulted. So I'm saying to you that at this point in history, you and I may never have to face the kind of things that Paul did. We might. Although many of our brethren in other parts of the world are facing those kind of things right now. Amen? You realize that, don't you? There are Christians all over the world facing death and imprisonment for the cause of Jesus Christ. But when you walk in close obedience to Jesus, I just want to tell you ahead of time, painful issues will happen. They will. It's not all hunky-dory, yippee-yippee-skippy, all right? And they will happen for no other reason other than the fact that you are willing to obey your Lord. Do you realize that? Sometimes it's just because you're faithful. And God says, have you considered my servant Job? He's faithful. Guess what happened to Job? Have you considered my servant? And then stick your name in there. I don't know if I want that kind of blessing, God. I understand that. He understands that. But Paul knew that suffering was coming, and he set his face towards Jerusalem anyway. You know who he learned that from? Jesus. Jesus set his face towards Jerusalem, and he knew suffering was coming, right? He knew that's what he had to face. Number four, a person willing to face adversity and lose their life rather than waste it understands that they are here to make God look good. Oh, listen to that one, saints. You and I are here, if we're going to walk with God, we're here to make God look good. So I want to ask you, what's your purpose in life? Literally, why do you exist? What is your purpose in life? Why are you alive? Now, some might say, well, it's to reproduce and raise another generation. Well, that may be part of the involvement. Is it to be a bookkeeper or a farmer or a secretary or a contractor or a warehouse worker or a car salesman? Not really. That's not really why you're alive. Those are jobs that God can use. But your purpose, my purpose on this earth is to bring honor to Jesus Christ. That's why we exist, to make him look good. I love the very first line of the first chapter of Rick Warren's Purpose-Driven Life. Don't know if this church ever went through it. If they haven't, we need to. It's something you do as a whole church, and you all study the things, 40 days of ministry that way. There was a purpose-driven church, a purpose-driven life, but I love the first line of the purpose-driven life. It says this, it's not about you. I like that. I mean, I don't like that, but I like that. You see, I live so much of my life because it's about me. No, I don't want to go visit them. They grumble. I don't want to go do that today. I don't like that person. It's cold outside. We don't get to choose those kind of things. It's not about you and me. Saints, our goal is to walk in such a way that the living Savior who called us and changed us, the one who put the Holy Spirit inside of us, the one who created heaven and earth, that God is to look good to others because of how you and I act. No matter what we face, good or bad, does Jesus get glorified because of how we respond? Do we respond with forgiveness, with love, with kindness, with peace, with gentleness? Do we mimic our leader and our Lord? Paul did. He wasn't perfect, but he mimicked his Lord. I want to read to you again, and I told you we'd get back to it, verse 24 of Acts chapter 20. So let's put that back up. It should be the next slide. Yeah. Paul, we read this already, but Paul, I want you to see this again. I do not consider my life of any account as dear to myself, so that I may finish my course and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify solemnly of the gospel of the grace of God. That was Paul's calling. He says his life is not worth anything. That only the ministry that God calls him to do is worth something. So I'm asking you, I'm asking me, does God look good because of me? That's the question. Let's read it out of Ephesians, since he was trying to tell this to the Ephesians church, and he wrote it to them later. Ephesians 5, 1 to 4. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you, gave himself up for us, and offering a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. We have to give up things that we really want to do sometimes in order to be pleasing to God. But immorality, or any impurity or greed must not even be named among us, as is proper among the saints. And there must be no filthiness and silly talk. Well, I got to work on that one. Silliness and talk or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather the giving of thanks. That's what God is looking for. Don't do these things, do these things. That's kind of what it says in this area. And finally, point number five, a person willing to lose their life rather than waste their life will not live simply to fulfill the American dream. Now, that's an interesting thought. They will not live simply to fulfill the American dream. Now, it's important that you understand something. I am extremely thankful to be living in a country that encourages rewards for hard work. That used to be, in some cases still is, America. That's one of the reasons people wanted to come here. They could prosper if they worked hard. And I thank God for America. That one can often gain upward mobility, both financially and socially, that's a nice thing. No matter what your ethnicity is, you can move up that ladder. Your family can move upward if you're willing to discipline yourself and move towards a purpose. So you save and you scrimp and you struggle and you faithfully go to work and you do all those things, and then you can maybe buy a little corner building and you can start a business and you can do that, and you move up the ladder is the point. And that dream, that American dream, that's not a bad thing. I'm not condemning it overall. But let me ask you a few questions. How do you know when you've arrived? I mean, seriously, how much longer do I need? When is enough enough? Have I gotten enough money? Oh, no, probably not. Now I have to save for this, and I have to save for this, and I got to, oh, I had this. Oh, by the way, I want to retire someday, and I want to send my kids to college. And when is enough enough? Do we work for 40-plus years so that we can just kick back and relax during the final 20 or 30? I'm not sure that's biblical. Paul was an older man when he was facing going back to Jerusalem. I wonder, seriously, do you suppose, I kind of think so, but I can't prove it. Do you suppose anyone ever said to Paul, "Paul, you know what, it's really time for you to rest. You've already done more than most people would with their life. You've started, you know, 70 churches. I don't know if it was that many, but I'm just throwing out a number. You need to get a cottage by the sea with a nice scenic view, and you need to retire. You need to do some writing to the churches that you started and encourage them. You can still do the Lord's work. Just do it that way. You don't need to go to Jerusalem. Let somebody younger do that." That's the way we think sometimes. You suppose anybody said something like that to Paul ever? I want to read to you a verse from Proverbs. It's in Proverbs 4:18. This is a song also. "But the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn. It shines brighter, brighter and brighter. Oh, the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn. It shines brighter, brighter till the full day. Brighter till the full day. Brighter till the full day." That's a fascinating verse to me. According to that verse, we are to get brighter and brighter, not slower and dimmer. Okay? That's what it says. Believe me, I understand how energy is wasted on the youth. I'm sorry, it really is. I don't seem to have the stamina to do all that I used to do, and I'm only 63. But your goal should not be retirement and drifting off into the sunset with pleasantries around you. It should be heading towards noon, the brightest time of the day. And that's when it comes to serving the Lord. I want to increase. I don't want to decline. I've reached this point. I've been saved for 41 years, first part of next month. 41 years. Hallelujah, glory to God. I've learned some things in 41 years of salvation. I hope I'm going to use them for the Lord and not just say, they got to learn it on their own. Frankly, the American dream, if you really think about it, no offense, I love it, I'm thankful I live here, but frankly, it's rather carnal and fleshly and earthly. Golly, if I can just make a little more money, if I can just own that, if I can just move up the corporate ladder, if I can just get that job, and if I can just own my house or save up enough money to get my kids to college or give them money. Nothing wrong with that either. But we as believers are to live for our rewards in eternity, not here on this planet. It isn't the things that happen here that we're supposed to be pursuing with great gusto. Paul understood that. In fact, virtually all the apostles grasped that truth. The things of earth fade away. Can I repeat that? The things of earth will fade away. Every one of them will. Your health will fade away. Your finances will fade away. They'll fade away real fast sometimes. Your kids, your grandkids, they change. They're not so, you know, that little puppy that was just so darling at Christmas time suddenly is using a bathroom all over the house, and you hope they fade away. I mean, you know what I'm saying? And they change, and suddenly they're a dog, and they're not that cute anymore. And you still love them and all that kind of stuff. I won't go into it. But anyway, things of earth fade away, even if those things that we have are passed on to our kids. Do they even know how to handle the finances that you're saving up to give to them? I'm not saying it's wrong. I just don't think that should be your goal. Your goal should be, God, what do you want me to do with my finances or anything else? My time, my energy. So why is a message like this necessary? Why is it worth serving Jesus with a life that is contrary to what most people live, even most Christian people? Why would we be willing to lose our lives to Jesus? Well, let's put up Matthew 10, 37 through 39. He who loves the father or mother more than me, not worthy of me. He who loves son or daughter more than me, not worthy of me. Folks, those are tough verses. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me, not worthy of me. He who has found his life will lose it. He who has lost his life for my sake will find it. Wow. That's amazing. We lose our lives so that we can gain them back in a far more glorified way. That's why we preach this message. My friends, I didn't want to spend time on the wasted side. I wanted to spend time on the positive side. But so many lives really are wasted. We spend so much time, I spend so much time on wasted endeavors, worthless things, things that don't matter at all. And when we stand before Jesus, and every single person hearing me today will stand before Jesus, amen, it's going to happen, how are you going to feel? Will you know that supernatural heavenly rewards are going to come your way? Will you be excited like a kid before Christmas? Will it be thrilling? All right. What does God have for me? Praise God. Not because you're worthy, but because He promised it. Because if you don't have that in you, if you dare say, well, I was president of my company, God, or I owned not only a house, but a lake house, and I let some other people use it sometimes. Well, I got to retire early. I was 58 when I retired. Or all of my kids got their way paid towards college. Aren't I great? Those type of things won't seem nearly as important then as they seem now. Now, again, I am not saying any of those things are wrong. Please don't hear that. God may call you to do some of those very things. Just make sure it's God that's calling you and not society that's saying, well, this is the way you ought to do it. You know, if you don't save for retirement very much, is God going to take care of you? Amen, He is. Is He going to feed the birds tomorrow? Amen, He is. Is He going to, in the spring, some flowers going to grow? Sure they are. And then they're going to wither and die. We need to grasp a concept. The earthly things are not all that important. Might I even say that if you're pursuing the wrong things right now, then you're wasting much of the energy, time, money, or whatever that you're pursuing after. We need to grow up in the ways of Christ. We need to become mature believers. Paul was a mature believer. We need to serve and trust God and allow Him to use us any way He wants. And if He calls us to go to Jerusalem, whatever that Jerusalem is in your life, there may be affliction awaiting you, but He maybe has a bigger plan than that. Are you willing to say, yes, Lord, yes, I will go? That's not an easy call to make. Are you willing to lose your life for your Lord's sake? And I'm not just talking about the physical life. I'm talking about your hopes, your dreams, your preferences. Am I willing to lay down my wants and my wishes so that Jesus Christ can look good? Evidently, Paul had reached that point, and that's what he told the Ephesians church. So I will call the worship team to come forward and close with a song. Today's invitation. Love to have somebody come to know Jesus Christ because of this message, but it wasn't a salvation message. It was a salvation to Christians who maybe haven't been yielding themselves as much to God as they should. And one moment on your knees in front of Him may not change that. But I want to tell every person here, this altar today during this song is open for you to do business with God. And I have this feeling that God has spoken to some of you, even reminding you today, you've been facing a situation He's called you to, and you didn't fulfill it, and you want to say, God, forgive me. Or maybe He's calling you to something right now, and you're willing to say, God, I'm scared, but I'll do it. I don't know what kind of situation the Spirit is moving upon you with, but I prayed specifically that the Spirit of God would move upon this congregation using the Word of God to call people. So the altar is open for whatever business you have to do with God, but especially involving, am I willing to go to Jerusalem no matter what awaits me there? Let's stand.
Thanks for listening to today's message with us. If you'd like to join us on Sunday morning, our service begins at 10:30, and we are located on 102 Egley Drive in West Unity, Ohio. For more information on Solid Rock Community Church, go to our website at solidrockcc.com.